Dream Yoga Chapter 2 on Dreams. Gnosis teaches that the modern decadent psychology of the Western Hemisphere is ignorant of the various kinds of dreams that exist. Dreams have a diverse and specific quality, for they are closely related to each of the psychic centers of the human body. In fact, we do not exaggerate when we state that most dreams are linked to the motor instinctive center. That is, they are the echoes of everything we see during the day, simple sensations and motions, a mere astral repetition of our daily life. Some experiences of an emotional type, such as fear, which harms humanity so much, usually fit in those chaotic dreams of the motor instinctive centers as well. There are, then, emotional, sexual, intellectual, motor, and instinctive dreams. The more important dreams, the inner experiences of the being, are associated with the two centers, the superior emotional and the superior intellectual. Dreams related to the two superior centers are certainly interesting. Their main feature is what we could call a dramatic array. Now then, if we think of the ray of creation, the superior and inferior centers, and the influences descending through the sighted cosmic ray, we must admit that some luminous vibrations appear. These intend to heal us, to inform us about the state in which we are, and more. It becomes useful to receive messages and to be in contact with the Aztec, Mayan, Toltec, Egyptian, and Greek adepts. It is marvelous as well to have intimate dialogue with the highest diverse parts of our being. The superior centers are fully developed in us, and they send us messages which we must learn to consciously grasp. In this chapter, those select people who have had a moment of self-remembrance, in which they saw a common thing or person in a totally different way, will not be surprised if I tell them that such moments have the same quality as one of those rare and strange dreams related to the two superior emotional and intellectual centers. The meaning of such transcendental dreams matches undoubtedly to the same level of realization in oneself of the ray of creation, and in particular, the lateral octave of the sun. The beginning of our realization of the deep significance of this specific type of dream is the signal that some forces struggle to awaken, heal, or cure us. Each of us is a mathematical point in space that is used as a vehicle by determined sums of values, black or white. Death is a subtraction of fractions. Once the mathematical operation is completed, the only thing left are the values, good or bad. In accordance with the law of the eternal return, it is certain that the values return, they are re-embodied. If a man starts taking into account more consciously the small cycle of recurring events of his personal life, he will be able to verify directly through mystical experience that in daily sleep the same mathematical operation of death is always repeated. In the absence of the physical body during normal sleep, the values merge into the astral light and attract or repel each other in accordance with the law of universal magnetization. The return to the vigil state rightfully implies the return of the values to the interior of the physical body. Extraordinarily, people think that they only interrelate with the external world. Gnosis teaches us that we interrelate with an inner world, which is invisible to the physical ordinary senses, but visible to clairvoyance. This inner invisible world is much wider, and it contains many more interesting things than the external world, where the five windows of the senses are always opened. Many dreams relate to the place where we are in the inner invisible world, from which the diverse circumstances of life come forth. The language of dreams is accurately comparable to the language of parables. Those who interpret everything literally think that the sower of the Christic gospel went to sow, and that the seeds fell on rocks, and so on, but they do not understand the sense of the parable, because it belongs to the symbolic language of the superior emotional center. Needless to say here, that any dream, as absurd or incoherent as it may be, has some significance, for it indicates not only the psychic center to which it is associated, but also the psychological status of such a center. Many penitent people, who presume to be chaste, failed in the sexual center and had a nocturnal pollution when they were submitted to trials in the internal world. In the perfect adept, the five psychic centers, intellectual, emotional, motor, instinctive, and sexual, function in full harmony with the infinite. What is our mental activity during sleep? What emotions move or shatter us? What are our activities outside the physical body? What instinctive sensations predominate? Have we considered our sexual states during sleep? We must be sincere with ourselves. Plato rightfully said, "A man is known by his dreams." The matter of the erroneous work of the centers is a topic that demands a lifetime of study by way of the observation of oneself in action and of the rigorous examination of dreams. It is not possible to achieve the understanding of the centers and their correct or incorrect function in an instant. We need infinite patience. All of life unfolds as a function of the centers and is controlled by them. Our thoughts, ideas, feelings, hopes, fears, love, hatred, deeds, sensations, pleasure, satisfactions, frustrations, and so on are found in the centers. The discovery of some inhuman element in any one of the centers must be the strongest motive for the esoteric work. Any psychological defect must be previously understood by way of the technique of meditation before proceeding to its elimination. The extirpation, eradication, or elimination of any undesirable element is only possible by invoking Tonat Zin's aid, our Divine Mother Kundalini, a variation of our own being, or particular fohat of each of us. This is how we die from moment to moment. Only death brings forth what is new. Influences of all kinds reach us in the levels of beings and things. If we have understood the ray of creation, we will also acknowledge that, in any instant of life, influences, which are of various qualities, reach us. We must always be aware that there are superior influences that act upon us and are recorded by our psychic system. If we are, nevertheless, attached to our senses, and we do not pay full attention to our inner life, we will not be able to perceive these influences.